Sermon, Thoughts on 2 Peter, Long Beach, California, August 16, 1911. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 10. There is a responsibility resting upon every one of us, a responsibility to make our calling and election sure. And if we do these things, the promise is, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the apostle continues, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verses 10 to 13. Again the apostle writes, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 to 4. This class of people is spoken of as willingly ignorant. Verse 5. We do not want to be of that class. We need to understand the word of the Lord and to follow on to know him day by day. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? Verses 8 to 12. Day by day there is impressed upon my mind the great danger of our neglecting to improve our opportunities to gather the light from the Word of God, and to follow out that light faithfully. There is always more light for us as we follow on to know the Lord. Especially is this true of the parents' work in the home. They have a special responsibility. The fathers, though they are engaged in business most of the day and are much away from home, should be careful to walk in the love and fear of God, that they may bring to their families the blessings which God gives to all who look to him and trust in him. Who are preparing to meet the Lord? Who among us are keeping the mind stayed upon him, having their conversation of that character that it shall bring light and peace and comfort and blessing into the home. We need to be preparing for the wonderful review that is soon to take place. Fathers and mothers, deal with your children in such a way that they will have light and knowledge in regard to Christ, and in regard to what they must be and do in order to have an entrance into the kingdom of God. Every day we ought to prepare for this, by every day having an increased faith. Speak words that the children and youth will think of with pleasure when you are not with them. It is your privilege so to speak and act before your children, that wherever they are, at home, at school, or engaged in the work of the world, they will be helped and comforted and encouraged at the remembrance of your words and your prayers. But if you would do this, you must look continually to Him, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Let us at this meeting keep the mind in a religious atmosphere. How can we do this, do you ask? You can study the life of the Savior and the sacrifice He made when He came into this world and gave His life that He might make a way for you to be saved. Let us at this meeting accept the salvation of God. Let us come to Him with the simplicity of children. Let us bring our children with us, impressing upon their minds that now is the time and opportunity to be converted, to decide to love and serve God, and to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Fathers and mothers, be the educators of your children. Converse with them upon religious things. Teach them the Word of God. Cultivate a sweet disposition. Then there need be spoken no words of anger or scolding or fretting. If your children disobey you, take them alone and talk with them. Show them that they have grieved the Spirit of Christ. Tell them that whenever they give way to temper, the sweet Spirit of the Lord is not talking to their hearts. Teach them that Christ gave His life that they might learn to yield to His Spirit and come into union with God. Then, whether they live or die, in the changing circumstances of life, or if called into the valley of the shadow of death, their love for Christ and His love for them will sustain them. Their hope will be steadfast, and the confidence will be unshaken. Happy is that soul who in the hour of death finds his faith strong in the assurance of a glad resurrection, when, awaking at the voice of the life-giver, he shall see the Savior as he is. My brethren and sisters, let us make Christ first and last our hope for this life, and our blessed reality in the life to come. Do you want to take your children with you to the kingdom of God? Do you want them to stand uncondemned in the judgment, saved from their sins through faith in Christ? Then labor that they may be converted right in the home. Pray with them. Teach them the requirements of the Word of God. This is the best thing you can do for them. It is far better than to try to please them by giving them their own way. For there will come a day when they cannot have their own way. Have your children put on the robe of Christ's righteousness? Do they love God? If they do not, labor for them until they know by personal experience the joys of being children of God. Do not leave them to perish without the camp. Lead them to make their peace with God and to give their hearts to Him. This is your business, your chief business. Do not be satisfied with the prayers you offer for them at the family circle, but do personal, individual work for them until you are assured that they have made their peace with God, that His approval rests upon them, and that the light of heaven is revealed in their lives. These children and youth may attend the meetings, but that is not enough. You should know if these meetings are doing your children spiritual good. Learn from them if they understand what it means to humble their hearts before God and to have His peace in their hearts. Teach your children line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Commend them to God. Then watch your own lives that you do not set an example that will undo the good that your instruction has accomplished. Do not speak of their faults before others, but deal with them kindly and considerately and in the spirit of Christ. If they them have grieved you by wrongdoing, show them where they have erred. Bring them to God in the arms of your faith. Your work in the training of your children is just as important as that of the ordained minister. You need the light of heaven to come into your homes, into your hearts, that you may educate your children for the future immortal life. This is your chief business in this world. The Savior revealed a wonderful love, a wonderful earnestness, when he gave his life that we, sinful though we are, may be cleansed from all iniquity. He is the pattern to be followed by every Christian parent.
You are to be educators. The minister cannot be at your side all the time to give you counsel regarding your work in the home. But you have the word of the living God. Take that word and follow its teachings. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8. What more precious promise can you have, fathers and mothers? What greater encouragement? Perhaps you are quick-tempered, and when your children trouble you, you begin to scold them. Do you think that will make them religious? No, indeed. What you need is hearts that are softened by the working of the Holy Spirit, that you may know how to deal with your children under all circumstances in a way that will reveal the Spirit of Christ. We want to see a far-reaching work done at this camp meeting. Are you, parents, doing all you should to help your children to form right decisions? Are you encouraging them to give their hearts to God and to prepare for the grand review that must soon take place? None can enter the city of God who have not formed characters after the divine similitude. If you make excuse for your hasty speech because it is natural for you to be quick-tempered, your children will make excuse for themselves when they give way to temper. They will feel, if father and mother are not particular about this thing, neither need they be particular. Let parents take hold of the work of preparing for the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. You know not how long you may be spared to do this work. Therefore, do not put it off. Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you, that you might live your life for him. Do not disappoint him. Work in a simple way, pleading daily with God for power to make your work effectual. Seek to gather souls to God and to Christ. Keep ever before you the solemn event of the judgment. If there is found any sin upon you in that day, you cannot pass through the gates into the city of God. There is earnest work for you to do in this world where so much power is exercised to draw the mind from spiritual things. We need to consecrate ourselves unreservedly to God, experiencing daily the triumphs of the overcomer, that our children may understand what it means to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Those who are present at this camp meeting have had a precious opportunity to hear the truth as it is in the Word. Will you return to your homes and forget all about these truths? Will you go on just as you did before this meeting? Or will you here make a covenant with God by sacrifice? No matter what their age, bring your children to God, saying, I bring my children to thee. Help me to live a consecrated life before them, that I may not grieve the heart of Christ, or give an example that will influence my children for wrong. Jesus is coming soon, and Satan is putting forth every possible effort to make your children worldly and pleasure-loving. He is glad when parents think there is no harm in these things. Parents, there is a great deal of harm. You are bought with a price, the price of the blood of the Son of God. Do not, I beseech of you, be careless. You have had opportunity here to hear the truth. Will you practice the truth? Will you teach it to your children? Will you seek to make impressions upon their minds that will lead them to give themselves to Christ? There is an immortal crown for everyone to win who will let the spirit of obedience and self-denial for Christ's sake control the life. The Son of God suffered the death of the cross that you might have eternal life. But there are conditions with which you must comply. The Savior says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Here is the word of God. Search its pages, for this is that which testifies of him who declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14, verse 6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked.
Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 2, verse 1-11. The Apostle John is careful to distinguish between children and parents. He writes, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Verses 12-17. When Christ abides in the hearts of his people, there will be seen on their part an earnest desire to prepare for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for all who serve and honor him in this world. Is this work taking place in this meeting? Is there a turning to the Lord with full purpose of heart? Are you encouraging one another to consecrate the heart and life to God? I greatly desire that the blessing of God shall come upon this congregation. Oh, I long for this. A little longer, and this meeting will be closed. We ask you to take hold now of the work of seeking the Lord. How many have been doing this? How many will begin right now to do this? Let those in this congregation who will make a decided effort to follow on to know the Lord rise to your feet, thus making a pledge with God that you will advance heavenward. Nearly all rise. If you will set your hearts to do this work of pressing back the powers of darkness and advancing toward the light, victories will be gained. Then when you come up to the gates of the city of God, you will be welcomed there. The crown of glory will be placed on your brow, the golden harp in your hand. You will be saved, eternally saved, in the kingdom of God. My brethren and sisters, determine to make the effort, and may God help you, is my prayer.